Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Valley Nordic. This is Chander in Palo Alto.
And hi, this is Arne in Stryn, Norway.
Oh, where is that, Arne? Usually you're in Oslo.
Yeah, that's a village on the west coast of Norway. So think of the fjords you've seen on the National Geographic. That's where I am.
Oh, nice. Beautiful place.
Absolutely.
How is the weather there?
Beautiful spring day today after a long winter and a bad start to the spring. But then it's 2 days of beautiful spring now.
Oh, nice. I hope you enjoy your visit. While you are there, Silicon Valley is buzzing with the new thing, which I'm sure you've heard about, is Elon Musk is buying or attempting to buy Twitter.
Or at least claiming to try to buy it.
Well, no, he officially made an offer. He posted, you know, the official offer.
Subject to financing.
Yeah, which I saw his life.
Let me tell you, it's never hard to not be able to finance anything if you really try.
But today, well, I saw his live interview on TED. He was at TED, which I couldn't attend this year, where he said he has the appropriate means to finance it, which, you know, he's worth like $300 billion. So I think if he wants, he can. But we don't know.
He doesn't easily have $43 billion in liquid assets.
But he can get them with $300 billion in. You know,
if he wants, he can.
Yeah. But this morning, the news was that Twitter is taking the poison pill so that he cannot buy them. What exactly does that mean? I forget. I think Netflix did that at some point. What is the poison pill?
I think there are multiple ways of doing this, but my understanding is that the newest development is that there's some sort of structure being put in place where other shareholders can buy more shares if certain shareholders pass a certain ownership. So say Elon Musk goes past 15% or whatever is the target set, mm-hmm. then other shareholders are allowed to buy more stock to effectively dilute the 15% shareholder. Mm. So this is the way to make it harder to buy the company.
So let's say Elon Musk buys 15%, but he wants to buy the whole thing. So how would that work? Like somebody would not sell their shares?
The acquisition offer, of course, has to be first dealt with at the board level.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to have a certain number of shareholders to approve the offer for it to be a full acquisition, right? And
the board can decide on their own. I don't think they need to go get approval.
No, exactly. But even if the board approves the offer,
mm-hmm.
It's up to shareholders to decide whether they want to sell. It's a listed company.
Yeah. So after the board approves, it may be subjected to shareholder approval.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think if you haven't figured out, we are talking about Twitter because that's the hot topic in the tech world last 2-3 days. So we thought we'd discuss it on our podcast today and make it a short episode because Arne is visiting a beautiful place in the countryside with fjords. Okay, so basically Twitter is now trying to get bought by Elon Musk, and the market doesn't seem to believe that it'll happen because I think the price he was offering was $54.20. And currently Twitter is trading at, I think, I forget today, but yesterday it was way below that. So let's see, today, right now, they're at
45.08.
And for people who don't know, in the US, 420 is a symbol of smoking pot or marijuana. So the price is 5420. I think there's some relation to 420. It's because of 420 pot. It's the price is 5420. It's not just a coincidence that's the price he offered.
I guess we should step back. And so I think it's been a hot topic for, let's say, the last week. So there's been sort of rolling developments on this front. First of all, Elon Musk has been obnoxious on Twitter. First of all, he wanted to start his own social network, is what he claimed on Twitter.
Yeah.
Secondarily, he's been sort of obnoxious about Twitter, first of all, around product features and so forth. And some of these, he's sort of had points, right? Why is there an edit button and so forth? And also about it being mismanaged and not supportive of free speech. And then he sort of had bought a position in the company. And so he informed the world on, I think it was the 4th of April, that he owned 9% of Twitter, which is it makes him the largest shareholder in Twitter. Mm-hmm. Even if, and to comply with SEC rules, he should have flagged when he passed 5%. Mm-hmm. And he flagged it much later than 5%. So that's a issue in itself. I mean, Elon Musk has a history of not complying with the SEC regulation, essentially.
Yeah.
And so it was a big news, of course, both his position, his big shareholder, his sort of now direct way of impacting the company, and the fact that he was flaunting SEC rules again. And then the subsequent effect was that he was going to be invited on the board. And the CEO said, we'll look forward to get his input and all sorts of things. And the premise in the market that he was invited on the board was not only to give input and bring his great entrepreneurial capabilities onto the board, but was also to any board member cannot buy more than 15% of the company. Those are the rules. And so inviting him on the board was actually a way of also defending the company from Elon Musk having even greater influence.
Yeah.
Subsequent to that, he was no longer invited to be on the board. And he said he didn't want to anyway. And was again obnoxious in multiple ways about how about taking out the W of the name and call it Titter, and a few other things I can't exactly remember. And of course, one of the arguments for not having on the board was he needed to get security clearance, which seemed to hang in the balance. Anyway, something has gone wrong in the relationship. Leading up to this, then offered to buy the company on these terms. So it's been a long saga, I guess. These are the long saga over only 10 days or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So the official version from Twitter CEO is the board seat or him joining the board was going to be effective, I think, April 9th. But that morning, he called and informed that he won't be joining the board. So he decided not to, but in the email that the Twitter CEO sent internally, he also posted it on Twitter, where it implied some things, but who knows what exactly happened. But the official version is he decided not to join.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the long and the short of it is that the market does not believe that he's buying it. Otherwise, the stock would not be trading at $45 when the offer is $54.20.
Yeah.
So that's clear. Whether the market does not believe it because they don't believe Elon Musk is sincere, or whether they don't believe he's capable, or that the company will, you know, defend itself. And I guess it's up for debate and who you ask, but the market believes in a combination of those reasons that it will not happen. Otherwise, it would not be trading where it is.
Yeah. By the way, something else I saw yesterday, Arne, is Vanguard is now the top shareholder. They own more than Musk. They own 10%+ in Twitter.
Yeah.
So he's number two. So going a little farther back on Twitter, so Jack Dorsey used to be the CEO. And while he was CEO, he also started Square, which is called Block now, and he was running these two companies simultaneously as CEO. And then Elliott Management, which is activist share holder of Twitter, they bought stake in Twitter and got board seats. And then a few months later, Jack Dorsey was gone from Twitter. He's still on the board, but he's no longer CEO. And I don't know how, I think it's been like a few weeks since Agarwal has been the CEO of Twitter. It's 2022, yeah? It's not that long ago that he became CEO.
Yep.
Remember, yeah?
Yeah, it's a fairly recent development.
Yeah. So it's very, a lot of stuff happening for a while. Even, I think, before that, Silver Lake bought a huge stake. So it's been kind of a... not a mystery, but I would say mismanaged or not well-run company for a while. I think Twitter, in my view, Twitter has done more positive things for the world than Facebook, the Blue App, or Instagram because of many reasons, you know, ability for government leaders to speak with their populace directly, you being able to directly follow and learn from people you admire, things, you know, getting visible real time, what's happening in the world. That's like the pulse of what's happening in the world. So I think even without, you know, much innovation over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, the company or the product has been good for the world in my view. What do you think, Arne? Do you agree with that hypothesis?
So I think, you know, nothing is black and white, right? Twitter has had its problems in terms of misinformation, and this sort of thing like all social media has, and it also has had sort of its fair share of bad behavior on the platform. That said, I think Twitter has done, I think on balance it has been positive, and I think it has a very important role to play, just like you described, in allowing people to speak to a very large audience when you have something important to say, and it, very interesting information is shared much quicker and better on Twitter if you follow the right people than any other platform. So following anything from COVID to the war in Ukraine to other topics, you can find much more in-depth information faster on Twitter if you know how to use it. So I think it has a very important it's a very important utility for the world,
yeah,
even with all its flaws. So I would agree with you. And I have to say personally, I'm not super active myself on the Medium, but I get fantastic industry news from the venture capital, and I get fantastic news on world events from Twitter, and better than any other platform.
Yeah. It's like you said earlier, Arne, everything is gray. I think in general, I've changed my mind about social media. I used to think in general, it was net positive. There are negatives to it, but there are many positives to it as well. But now I view it as, I'm not sure if it is positive or not. Like, I was sure it's net positive. Now I'm questioning that. I'm saying I'm not sure, because the negatives can be too negative. So I'm not saying, you know, one side or the other. Now I'm unsure. I've changed my mind from being sure about net positive to unsure. But of the two major platforms, Facebook, the blue app, and Twitter, the only app, I would say Twitter is more positive than the blue app, because it connects you with leaders, people you admire, and it's more real time. And there are other choices. With Twitter, there is like, what is the other choice? Like, let's say Twitter disappears, how would you keep in touch with people you admire?
Yeah, so I think it has that feature, and it's not the same, but Wikipedia plays an important role in the world, in sort of as the world's free encyclopedia, right? Yeah. And Twitter plays a similar role in the sense that you know, keeping track of real-time events as they happen and in depth and directly from sources. So I think Twitter has a very interesting functionality. Whilst it has more issues than Wikipedia does.
Yeah, it's...
At the same time, I would say that Twitter is much less successful as a business than Facebook or Meta, where Facebook has been known to have a much stronger product and tech organization than Twitter. Twitter has always been slammed for having bad tech and product functions, and therefore also has not seen the growth in users, and not active users in the sense that they contribute to the content, and therefore has a smaller reach and much worse monetization than a Facebook or Meta has on their platforms. So as a business, it's a historically a underperforming business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I mean, I wrote a blog post in 2009 how Twitter can be bigger than Facebook because of their mobile native. You know, remember when they came out? It was called the microblogging site. It was limited to 140 characters, and Facebook at that time was mainly PC. They didn't have a mobile presence, or not strong mobile presence, but they pivoted to mobile, and Twitter kind of lost their way or never got too big. So I think there's still a lot of potential, and I think some of the criticism Musk has is valid. Like, I don't know why it took Musk to ask people, you know, 200 million plus DAUs, why don't you ask people what features they want? And he does that. Like, why isn't Twitter doing that? I think they started doing that after this whole drama started. Or why aren't they doing that before? Simple things, you know, they could have done and extended on the product, but somehow, I guess, because CEO was part-time, or they're making enough money without doing much. So I don't know why, but there wasn't much innovation happening.
So Elon Musk has a point in that sense. Yeah. I think if you look at the performance of it, if you compare like Twitter and Facebook, Twitter has 200 million plus daily active users, whereas Meta or Facebook has 2 billion, almost 2 billion. So there's like a 10x size in daily active users for Facebook or Meta. And if you look at annual revenues for these two companies, then Twitter is at 5 billion US. Meta is at 117 billion US. So a user on Facebook is more than double monetized relative to a Twitter user. And that's despite the fact that Twitter is probably more US-centric, where the revenue per user is higher than a global user base. So, you know, Facebook or Meta has been much more successful both in growing user base and monetizing that user base.
Yeah. I see. So Zoom is trying to get me to upgrade to a newer version. That's new. They're going to otherwise end our call in 6 minutes. What do you think? We should end in 6 minutes or upgrade?
We can do it.
We can end in 6 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll upgrade, because then I can't focus on what you're saying if I'm upgrading while this is happening. So we will end this sooner today, and I'll upgrade afterwards. Okay. So what do we... can you share the revenue numbers, Arne? We talked about DAUs, but how has been the revenue growing in total?
Yeah, so the revenue growth has been somewhat slow. I mean, the last year, the revenue was about $5 billion for Twitter, up from $3.7 billion the year before. So actually growing reasonably the last year. It's sort of going from 2018, $3 billion. To 3.5, to 3.7, to then 5. So revenue growth is actually, so I think the business is actually improving in performance now, and is actually improving in product as well, just not as fast as people would want. But it's actually a company on a pretty good track just at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So what do you think about the whole free speech debate? Because that's, I listened to Musk in the interview at TED yesterday. He said he's doing it not for the economic reasons. He is free speech absolutist. So he's doing this to protect free speech.
What yeah, I
argument.
I don't particularly believe that. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Elon Musk as a founder and company builder. He's an amazing individual. I think personality-wise, he's not my favorite cup of tea. And he's, you know, a lot of the things he does is simply just show and provocation. And I think his track record for free speech, he keeps suing people left, right, and center if they say something that he doesn't like, including Tesla employees or something. So I think he likes arguments. Mm-hmm. And I think he thinks that you can monetize the business better if you just make it into sort of the mud wrestling pit of public arguments, right? Mm-hmm. And let everybody loose, and that will be entertaining. And he likes to engage in that sort of thing himself. I personally don't think that the world is going to be a better place if you let all nutcases say anything they want on Twitter. I'm for free speech, by the way, but for free speech where free speech comes with responsibilities. And I fundamentally believe that companies can implement rules on their platforms for what they want, how they want people to engage on their platforms. And I think you know, the boundaries of free speech and free speech in certain spaces is a very complicated topic. And whatever you do, you will never get the boundaries of that right. And yet I think Twitter has taken reasonable steps to protect the public from bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Had they gone too far? I don't know. I think this is something you need to reevaluate all the time and find the right boundaries. But I think just making it a place for public arguments and bad behavior, which I think would be the result of Elon Musk type of approach to it, I don't see that makes the world a better place, and I don't see that making Twitter a better product.
Hmm. So something he said in the interview, which makes sense to me, I don't know how practical it is, but theoretically it makes sense. So what he was proposing, that, you know, make the algorithm open source, put it on GitHub, and when you like promote a tweet or demote a tweet or ban a tweet, you make it transparent. So let people see why the decision was made, and it's not a black box. And then, you know, so there's no mystery why this person was banned, and why this tweet was demoted, and why this was promoted, which I think is a good thing. If it's a private company not looking to make money, it's good that if it's transparent.
I'm all for those sorts of things. It's just that I also look at Elon Musk's behavior over the last few years, and he's erratic. I don't think he's the ideal moderator of discussions in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm all for transparency, all for, I think, better algorithms. With better algorithms, you can also let more free speech loose, but sort of weaponized disinformation is a problem for the world. And I understand if a private company wants to stop that because it pollutes the platform.
Yeah. Okay, I think we should end here since we have less than 1 minute left before our current version of Zoom kicks us